Come on, celebrate the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even though we're small in number, we can still bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We can still give Him praise. Hallelujah. Still give Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. More now. This week, more than ever, we ought to be excited. This is the time where Christians ought to be really excited and on fire. Yes. Amen. This is the week where we are really at the essence of who we are as believers. Amen. Amen. That God sent His Son. Amen. Yes. Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Amen. Yes. But we are so excited that He didn't stay on the cross, did He? He died, didn't He? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. He died. Amen. Yes. Yeah, He died in our place. Amen. Yes. He died for me. He died for you. Amen. And then also, He didn't stay dead, or did He? He got up what? With all power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He got up with all power. Amen. And so now He is what? Seated at the what? Right hand. Amen. Of the Father. Amen. I'm so glad that He also sent His Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew, glory to God. I'm so glad for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who indwells me. Oh, Lord. You know how bad I was, Joe? The Holy Spirit in me. Amen. Glory to God. I can say amen. I can say hallelujah. I can like you. I can love you. I can bless you. Wow. Amen. That's a God I love. Amen. The Holy Spirit is bad. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is bad. Amen. Yeah, if you take credit for how good you are in the wrong place. Amen. And you're in the wrong attitude. If it's nothing but the Lord that did it, there's no good in you. Amen. There's no happy in you. There's no joy in you outside of God. Amen. Amen. I can't find up. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, y'all. I'm going to stir y'all up till y'all get ready. Hallelujah. We need to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to raise the roof in here. Hallelujah. Because God is so awesome. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful, God, to be saved. I'm thankful to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Saved. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I love Passion Week. Amen. I love Passion Week because I remember I used to be the thief on the cross. Amen. I remember I rejected. Hey, if you the Christ, then save me. Amen. Save yourself and save me. Amen. Yeah. We were all hurling insults. Didn't want to do nothing with God. Ain't want to live on God's people. Didn't care about that. But look at God. Amen. I'm glad there were two thieves versus one. It reflects my old life and then my new life. Hey, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, do what? Remember. Oh, Lord, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I'm able to say, when you come into your kingdom, I know I ain't got to ask you to remember me. I'm already in the number. Amen. Hallelujah. My name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't erase it. You might as well. Even if you don't like me, you better get happy with me because I'm going to be here. We attached to the hip. Hallelujah. You can't celebrate. You can't separate me. Hallelujah. Nothing will separate me from what? The love of God, which is in what? Christ Jesus. Amen. And so, hallelujah. You might as well get excited about me, mother. I'm going to be in heaven. I didn't even have my own corner shouting like I don't know what. I think I'm going to put me on Shout Avenue. I'm just going to be just shouting, hallelujah. But I know I ain't by myself. I know some other people in here that's going to shout like me. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, God. Yes, sir. I wish I had a shout church. Amen. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah. Yes. The world wanted me to be sad because Jesus died. But no, I'm happy that Jesus died. I'm happy that you set him up. I'm happy you put the nails in his hand. I'm happy you put the nails in his feet. I'm happy, hallelujah, that you pierced his side. I'm happy that you did all that. Because it ain't for the blood. Woo, God. Hallelujah. It's the blood, hallelujah, that got the power. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, Martha, I got the resurrection power, I ain't got to wait for Sunday to get resurrected. I'm resurrected already. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God is so awesome, man. He's so awesome. He's so worthy to be praised. And so we're just thankful to come to Bible study. I'm thankful to come to Bible study. I don't know about you. Even if I wasn't doing Bible study, I was coming. Amen. Some people think, oh, yeah, you're a minister, so you're teaching. That's why you're here. Nah, if there was anybody up here teaching, I'm here. Because when you love God, you want to be around teaching. You want to be around the word. You want to be around godly people. And so you want to always be in around folk who love God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm excited that you all are here and here, and God is doing a marvelous, wonderful thing in your life. But truly the best is yet to come. Amen. I'm thankful for the cross, but I'm also thankful for after the cross. Amen. Because after the cross is where the empowerment takes place. Amen.
Right.
That these regular folk did now get to operate in power and miracles and signs and wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. These raggedy dudes in the gospel all of a sudden now get in act, and they are laying hands on people. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. The church is being established. Peter is preaching. Are you kidding me? Peter preaching? Wow, I thought he was a dude that rejected Jesus, I mean, denied him 3 times. And you mean tell me he's up in front of everybody talking about, these men are not drunk as you say. They are what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They got a what? New intoxication. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you drunk? Have you ever been drunk in the spirit? Hallelujah. Let me get started. Let me just fire y'all up. Because I've been drunk in the spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't know alcohol could get me drunk, but I knew that to do. I tasted that, but I didn't know the Holy Ghost can make me drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Holy Ghost had me doing stuff I know I in myself I couldn't do. Because I remember I used to cuss you right back out. It's like, you cuss me out. Amen. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, and now he closed my mouth up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. But bigger than that, I am able to be empowered by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Filled with the Spirit,
yeah.
Moving and operating and navigating through the Spirit,
yeah.
And able to now be a vessel used by God.
That's right.
That people see more of the Spirit than they see of me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That is right. Work of the Spirit. I'm so glad, I'm so glad, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. So let's get on in it. Amen to chapter number 6. As we can finalize and kind of finish chapter 6, as we navigate through, amen, cloud, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. There are many scriptures that we're going to look at tonight, hopefully that we can draw some from the truths here, but there are some others I want to grab onto in addition to what's here. Last week, we just talked about the dead church that's described here in chapter 6, you know, and how that we need to, that God can still be at work, amen. And so I gave you all some principles earlier last week that I care to share again for some people who were not here last week, as we're going to cover some of them in our time together today, is that glory, there's glory in tribulation, that God somehow gives glory as we're going through tribulations and problems. And so God somehow gets glory. And number one, we talked about glory, what? Tribulation brings about what?
Perseverance.
Okay, that's number one. Is that when with glory, that tribulation brings about perseverance. And so while you're going through, what you don't realize is what God is doing through the trial. That's why James says, count it all what?
Joy.
Why? When? At the beginning or the middle? No. He said, count it as a joy. When? Why?
Yeah.
But he also said, grow to the point where you count a joy when you're going in it. Amen. All right? When you are experiencing a trial, he said, it brings about perseverance. So the tribulation of this church, they were dying. The leaders were dying. The people were dying. They were not vibrant as a ministry, but yet they were about to close the doors. Amen. They were about to close the doors and look at God. That they decided to do what? Pray. And see, here I see that even though they're about to throw in the towel, guess what? God preserved them long enough to pray, and then long enough for him to do his work in the life of the church. Amen. That is so awesome that just when you're about to give up, that's when God shows up.
All right.
Has there anybody here got a testimony that it was all hell breaking loose and you were about to give up on what God had promised you? God told you you're going to be blessed. He told you you're going to be. He's going to do something great through it. And then here you are in the middle of it. You're about to give up on the time. And then all of a sudden God shows up in a way that you would never thought he would show up. Am I the only one here tonight? Maybe amen. And I know you've been through something like that where you're about to give up on the trial, about to give up on the answer, about to give up on God, and God did what? Showed up. Amen. But you know what's amazing about this, Adam? I'm so glad he showed up before I gave up. Because I almost gave up and missed my blessing because I would have given up before God had the time. That's why we say he's always what? On time. And so I'm so glad that God knows the time of when I'm about to give up, and that's when he shows up. Sometimes God saved me from myself.
Oh, be to God.
Whew, I'm fired. All right. Let me calm down a little bit, but I'm fired up tonight. Amen. All right, so the second part is perseverance results in proven character. That God, through the trial, is proving your character. That God is developing a character in you. Again, when you go through. I tell people some of my testimony, they say, are you kidding me? You've been through that? Yeah, it wasn't because of me. God proves my character as you're going through. But so what people think is that you're going through for one thing, but God says, nah, I'm going to show you how bad he is. I'm going to show you how I'm really at work in his life, and I'm going to prove his character through the trial. One of the classic examples of that is David. He got anointed king at 17, right? But he goes through 13 years of a king who's trying to assassinate him and trying to kill him, right? But at one time, he had the opportunity to do what? Pay him back. God had given him Saul right in his hand, but what did he do? Instead of killing him, he did what? Cut the bottom of his head and said, I can't do it. And what God was doing is proving David's character.
All right.
And that's why you can't trust, you can't curse a trial. Because what you think that people, you know, it's so interesting. I'm so glad about this, though, R.F. Smith, because sometimes I try to please people. And I want them to believe about me what I know to be true about me.
All right.
But God, I'm so glad about God, is that, son, he's saying, what you're going to do ain't going to last.
That's right.
Because you can flip and do cartwheels and somersaults, but by next month, they will still think you ain't no good and you ain't worth anything to God. But when I get finished, when I develop your character, they will have to look back and say, oh, Mr. Cole, I'm so sorry I thought like that about you. Oh, man, you are such a wonderful man of God. And I say, oh, my God, that had to be God. Because I didn't even know you thought like that. But I'm so thankful. And see, that's what's amazing about me is that when you're going through and you tell your testimony, you know, sometimes people have the immediate goal to tell you how they really feel. Because I remember, when I got saved, I was radical. I went from the crazy thug to radical for Jesus. I was, and all of a sudden, but I didn't know. My family member said, oh, that's a little fad. Kenny be back in 2 years. That's 20 years later. So they said, and I got that last year. So Kenny, we thought you'd be back. Now you taking this thing serious. You preaching now? Now you going to all these different churches. You in Bible college now? You graduated from Bible college? Oh, man, you getting your master's, Kenny? What? Are you? Yeah, God said, son, what you didn't realize, I'm proving your character.
All right. Amen.
That's why he says you can't curse your trouble. Because you never know what God is using to develop you and to cultivate the gift that's in you, but he's also proving your character. Number three is that proven character leads to hope. He said, once your character is involved, that's what he said. He said, when you don't have enough hope in yourself, guess what? God will send the people who think bad about you to now think well about you. I'm kidding. Let's go. Make proof. Okay, prove. David, they said, you don't want David. Surely all my other sons are worth it. I done gave you the best, Samuel. They said, no, you got all of them because none of these are it. He said, well, I got another David, but you surely don't want David. Nobody wants David. He's a sheep dude. He's a ruddy guy. You don't really want him. He's not king material. No, Samuel. He's my best. I brought you my best. He said, no, but wait, these ain't it. Bring him. So when Samuel sees David, he says, well, oh, surely. This is what? God's anointed. But that's why sometimes you can't get caught up on man either.
Because, see, Samuel said earlier, surely this must be the one, because he was looking at the way that God had designed his older son. But here comes now, God said, Samuel, hold your horse. I ain't using that way no more. I used to move that way with Saul. I'm not moving that way no more. I'm going to David. I prepared David all his life, right? So all of a sudden now, all of a sudden, the next chapter, 8 verses later, when Saul, the evil spirit leaves, the evil spirit comes from God to Saul, and David gets the spirit, right? The Bible says they want to find somebody who's what? Able to do what? Play the harp. But that ain't what blessed me. What blessed me is what they said. They're trying to find all these men in the city to play this harp, right? That was the goal. Play the harp. That's all they need to do. But what blessed my mind was the narrative started writing out David. They said, hey, have you seen Jesse's son? David. Ain't no man like him. He's blessed. He's a good reputation. He's gifted. He's skillful. And the Lord is with him. Oh, on top of that, he played the harp. All they need to say, Sister Trudy, was that David, Jesse's son, played the harp. What I love about God is that God will make your haters start talking well about you after God develops you. Oh, that's right. Y'all don't want me tonight. Y'all don't want me tonight. Okay, yeah. So, but here, God does that and gives David hope. Why? They're hope because they're talking well of him. So God gives you hope. All right. Then, hope never lets us down or disappoint us. Hope never lets us down or never disappoints us. So here, this church, they lost hope. They lost perseverance. They were ready to do what? Give up. So all of a sudden, God shows up at the last hour. That's why you cannot give up. You can't give up if God ain't giving up. Because every time you wake up, there's always an opportunity for God to work. I know y'all want the book, and I'm about to get you the book, but I'm already in the book. Amen. So you wait for me to get the book. I'm already in the book. If you've been reading, I'm already in the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right? And so here, all of a sudden now, they're ready to give up, and here of a sudden, here's a man comes out of nowhere saying, hey, man, we got all these kids over here. Can you have somebody to come take care of these kids? Mm-hmm. Right? They say, yeah. Grab somebody. Didn't even realize that these kids got parents. So the parents say, oh, Lord, I didn't know what y'all was doing over here. They got so much momentum, the drug dealer started saying, hey, woo, and the gang members. So the church started booming. Instead of closing the door, Joe, God started moving in a major way. And here's the thing. God was already moving that way, but they were too blind to see it. So my question is, how you moving? Are you open? And you can't open and you can't answer that question with your mouth. You got to answer that question with your lifestyle.
All right.
And you got to answer that question with how you move. Yeah, amen. So here they are. God bless them. So let's turn to chapter page 66. Glory to God. Page 66. Page chapter 6. Chapter 6, page 66. Let me hurry up and get off that, because that sounds like Satan's number. Chapter 6 on page 66. Let me hurry up and move off that quick. Let me move off that real quick. Amen. Praise the Lord, chapter 666. Notice he says this. When you want to learn how to know and do the will of God, you should always look to Jesus. Right? We can find no better model than the way he conducted his early life. And although Jesus was God, he was completely human. Now here's a question. I want to throw this out there. Because I think this represents a lot of churches and a lot of believers. That we confuse working for God with working with God. You can work for God 30 years and never work with Him. You can do good stuff and not be the spirit that's guiding what you're doing because we do good stuff. You can go feed the homeless with the homeless ministry or whatever they call themselves, the friend ministry, whatever it comes. You can do that all day long and never be operating in the spirit to do it. You're operating in flesh. And this church was doing it. They were just doing stuff, but they weren't participating with the spirit. The minute they prayed and aligned themselves up with the spirit, then they began, God started moving in a major way. And my question is, God was already moving, but why wasn't he moving through them? Because we got a lot of churches that do the work for God, but they fail to work with him. You can tell it in our services. We got a time limit on the service. So God, what we're going to do is we're going to play some songs, we're going to show up, we're going to read some scriptures, and we're going to preach. And guess what? We give your spirit an hour to operate. And we hope, and if you feel the spirit, and God said, I ain't even showed up yet. But everybody else packed up and went on home, and spirit comes home. Oh, where did you come from? Oh, we gone, spirit. You keep on, you stay here if you want to, but I got to go over here. I got stuff to do. You know, don't let the Holy Ghost get a preacher, and then don't let him speak longer than 30 minutes. Oh, Lord, the Holy Ghost ain't here no more, because he can't do that. Don't let a choir get the Holy Ghost and keep singing. Do you know we got to get on to the church? We got to get on to the preacher and get him hurrying on up so we can get on up out of here? Yeah. Oh, matter of fact, what some of us will do is we will tiptoe right out as the Spirit is moving. Y'all can have the Spirit all y'all want. I got somewhere to go. Or maybe, I wonder in this church, did the Holy Spirit come knock at the door? Because I wonder, was he invited? Because my question is he invited in our services? Because what we do, I wonder, do we invite him? Or do we just go through the formality of saying, Lord, we invite you, but nothing we do is spirit-led at all. We just sit there going through the motions, but we say, we invite you. And I think the Holy Spirit at the door saying, I want to come in. And I wonder, why would the Holy Spirit knock at a church that he should be owning and should be resident and should be operative in? But he got to knock. That's why the church folk don't want him in. Excuse me, are you the Holy Spirit? No, we don't want you because we almost out of here. You should have came before we got here. But here's the sadder part of people who think that the Spirit is operating and he ain't showed up. And maybe God is saying, if you don't want me, I won't work with you. And you say, Ms. Cole, that don't work like that. Excuse me, you had 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew. Why? In Amos, they weren't listening to God. God kept using Amos to say, here's what these people need to do. Here's how you need to change. They say, Amos, we ain't listening to you. So God said, okay, guess what? There's going to be a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but what? Of my word. You don't want to hear me? I stop talking, and God stopped talking for 400 years. So I wonder if we have the spirit in our churches that we're not operating in, then what are the people saying, I feel the spirit? Because I think, and don't get me wrong, I don't think that they went to the church in Malachi to say that the spirit not there. Because we got 13 books that says the spirit used us to operate. That's called the Apocrypha books. They're not in your book, but guess what? The author said, the Holy Spirit led me to write. But we know that the Holy Spirit's not talking. So when the Holy Spirit's not talking, guess what? People don't even know. But my question is, if you don't even never heard the Holy Spirit, maybe you don't know when he's talking.
But let me move on, because I'm fired up.
Yes. Well, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, I was at a different time. Absolutely.
You know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you.
Yeah.
But then there's times, sometimes it feels just like the Holy Spirit is not there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's just that you're not in that frame of mind. Your mind is not allowing you to let the Spirit, Holy Spirit, be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a combination. I think the one thing we need to realize that the evidence of the Holy Spirit is not feeling. Because sometimes if you base it on your feeling, then, you know, that's what I'm so glad about the truth. See, the truth will bypass your emotional, because there are a lot of people that can have emotional experience and stimulation and it not be spirit.
That's right.
It's interesting. In my theology class, we're talking about church worship and what really is church worship. And they say how some people in the first century and second century, how the church has moved from doctrinal truth to now emotional stimulation by music and song, and they now say it's the spirit, because this song I heard, I started crying, so this had to be the spirit. And although I do believe that the Holy Spirit does operate through our feeling, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we ought to be robots through the Spirit. I think the Spirit does operate with our feeling. We have some emotion connected to it, but to be governing whether the Holy Spirit is moving based on our feeling is not true, right? But I think what we need to do sometimes when we're not feeling it, we have to ask ourselves, what are the reasons why we're not feeling it? Maybe we're not in a moment to pray the Lord. You know, sometimes you're not excited. You're not as vibrant as you should. Or it could be, and this is one of the struggles I have, is that God for a long time has been trying to change my Saturdays. And said, Mrs. Cole, because your Saturdays prepare you for Sunday. And well, oftentimes, you so compartmentalize with so much stuff going on, by the time you go to bed and come up in the morning, you ain't prepared at all. You just getting up, put on your clothes, and come to church. But what the church did was they used to prepare themselves the night before to get themselves ready for worship, so they bring the Spirit in with them. But I think we've gotten so stale in American churches where we're now waiting for, when you get there, well, I'm waiting for Deacon Amber, when she starts shouting, I'm going to shout. So we're sitting there sometimes playing hopscotch and jumping jacks with each other, trying to wait for the Spirit. But I think also we don't set the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in a way. Because what happens is, even if you, let's say, you don't feel it, the atmosphere is so set that it'll change the way you feel, and you have no choice but to get in.
Right. I know the Spirit speaks to my heart.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it's, like I said, a different... Because it functions, the way it functions.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I can be doing things.
Yes.
And it can speak to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me know that there's something that I need to do.
Absolutely. So. I agree. And I think then the case becomes, what do we do? Because sometimes a spirit will hit me. Let's say if we're in a service and a song is being sung, and I'll be sitting there because nobody else is doing anything. I'm just sitting in my own moment. And the Holy Spirit saying, are you really? Is it what you're going to do? You know I'm moving through this moment. And are you going to wait for everybody else? Or are you going to... And sometimes when that Holy Spirit tells me like that, I'm in. I'm not all in, because my emotions have said, I don't feel like it today. I don't want to do it today. But the Holy Spirit says, this is not the day for you to do that. I'm moving right now, and I need you to what? Join me. And I think sometimes what happens is we stymie the Spirit. And some of us, or some people, are afraid to be what? Considered to be different. You know, to the average. There she go again. Oh, Lord. Oh, there she go, always jumping up, saying hallelujah. And then next thing you know, you come out like a sore thumb versus an instigator to try to get people. All you're doing is expressing your worship to God. But because the spirit of the enemy is operating and making people look at it the different way, so they don't join, what they do is criticize. And so what happens is, you become now, what I'm saying, I got to a place now through the Spirit, too much conviction. That rather no joker get up or not, son. I need you to worship me in my own little moment. Hallelujah, I'm praising the Lord. And I don't care what everybody thinks. I don't care what they say. I'll be in my moment.
Amen.
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of so many of those. Yes?
But don't you think also that people show emotion differently?
Yes.
You don't have to jump the pew.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
But at least walk the pew.
Some people think that
they're but at least walk the pew.
No,
yeah, they do.
But here's a, and I agree that there's some people who are not as emotional as others.
Exactly.
But they are emotional.
Yeah.
There is a sign.
It's just different.
So yes, you may not be. I can't. Well, Deacon Young is fired up, and I maybe just sit there. But if you really feel it, you can't just sit there. Something, either your legs are starting to move, or your heart will start. There's something, an expression that'll show that you, and you can see it. You can see it when somebody is just sitting there. You know what? But I'm not saying that everybody should do what everybody else is doing. In your own way, you ought to be expressing your worship and praise to God in your own way. Yeah, but you may not be like that, but at the same token, though, but I would say you don't know what you would do if the Holy Spirit really get a hold of you and you allow yourself. And I think what happens sometimes is that we love our comfort zones. You know, I wasn't the dude that would run around the church. I didn't do that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I started availing myself to the Holy Spirit, I couldn't control it. I became so emotionally connected because I just realized how God just, he created emotions for a reason. And so they're not necessarily bad. So I would say to you, no, don't be around. You got to jump the pew to do that. But I would say, Joe, your hand ought to move. I should say your eyes ought to twitch. I should say your lips ought to do something.
Okay.
You know?
And
yeah.
It shouldn't always be with the choir.
Huh?
I said it shouldn't always be with the choir.
No, it shouldn't.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That seems to play more of an emotional role.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Yeah, and I agree. Yes, ma'am.
Isn't that why, that's why the Spirit is not as uplifted in a church, because so many people that do have Spirit and do want to release it, they feel burdened down because of the surrounding of them.
I agree.
Because of the person saying, oh, they ain't got to do that.
Yeah,
or
I agree.
And when you're in the Spirit, you do feel that negativity.
Mm-hmm.
People that, well, if it is, you shouldn't work.
Yeah.
But until you get to, I think, a certain growth.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It takes that.
Because you feel like your spirit is shut down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, folks figure, well, I ain't got to do that. I don't know why she's doing it or why he's doing it.
Yeah.
I tell my husband, I say, when the Lord really gets to you, you ain't going to be able to set still.
Absolutely.
And to me, that's what it's about. When he really releases you,
yeah.
No matter what nobody else says, say or do, you're going to release it. But there's times when people are hindering you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we need to understand sometimes that God creates releasers. And what that means is there's some people that may be ashamed or afraid to be expressive in their worship because they've been wired a certain way for so long. You know, and so they say women are the only ones emotional. Men, we don't do that. We macho. But I stand to say, well, David, when he got the Ark of the Covenant, this Joker came out of his clothes and started praising the Lord. Radical. You're talking about a warrior going from a thug and then go to hallelujah and worship. So I don't think it's that. I think that God has called us to some degree to release people. And that means is that there are many times at the Bible college that people will come to me and say, thank you for your freedom in the spirit as you worship the Lord, because it helps me to be expressive in the feeling of worship. So some people need to have radical people to really help them to get more comfortable with expression. I think the Spirit is operating in them and tugging on them to move, but they may be so inundated with what people think and not realizing now, as we talked about praise before in worship, is that now what's happened is my praise is to God, because what God is doing, he's tucking in my spirit to get me to praise him, right? But then what happens is now I'm thinking about what Martha thinks. I'm thinking about what Wes is doing. I'm thinking about what Adrian is doing. And I say, oh, you know what? I ain't going to do nothing. So now they become the focus and not God. And I'm going to realize is that Joe wasn't there. Rem Smith wasn't there. They weren't there when God did what he did.
All right.
So you really think that I'm going to hold back mine because of you? Maybe God allowed me to be this way to release you, to help you be free. Because I can't understand how people, that God does what he does. And if you watch people, they are emotional. They will get, catch them in the right arena. Catch them out of the church when they're talking amongst each other. They, why you came? We was not in the service. But you weren't emotional. You was deep, though. You was deep. And some of us, we sit there and we got our legs crossed because we too good. And, you know, we know when the Spirit is really moving and when it ain't. So we can sit up there and we look all deep and we look all professional. I'm sitting there saying, really? But again, I think we do that. I think our church culture is that way. We made the church culture now about tradition. And now, because the one don't shout, she gets now complaining. And because the one complaining, now we can't praise the Lord. Because now we got to please everybody. Everybody got to be the same way. Everybody got to do the same thing. And so then you become like Joe and Jordan Cedar song, saying, if you're like, hey man, look, we don't want you to praise by God like that in our church. We don't do that. And what do you say? Hey, guess what? Since I'm not at your church, see this land you're going on? God gave you what? All of that land. And I had all these kids. So he said, I shout right here and right now. And we got to get to that way.
Because of this culture that we're in now,
yes.
This generation.
Yes.
You're too sophisticated.
Yes.
To want to do that.
Yes.
Because back then, when our forefathers met, they appreciated what
yes.
God did for
yes.
them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we should be doing the same thing.
Yes.
But because tradition has dictated to
yes.
us more or less,
yes.
then we try to do the same thing. We're like,
yeah.
You make more money. You
oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Happens.
So all these things more or less try to dictate to you.
Absolutely.
So we have to remember. Who gave them?
Absolutely, absolutely. Great point. Great point. Great point. Absolutely. 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 Great point. Absolutely. I think, and the Holy Spirit just dropped this. It's hard to accept your mate if you're cheating on them all the time.
I knew what he was doing.
If you're married to Maria, and I'm cheating on her with praying and grace all week long and truly, by the time I get to Maria, I don't want to stand and look at her. So maybe that's what people are doing. They dating the secular world. They listen to 95.5. They listen to R&B all along. They in their word. They in their flesh all week long. And you're stepping in to get the Spirit? They've been cheating on God all week.
Yeah.
They ain't spent no time with them. They ain't intimate with them. They ain't praying with them. They ain't rejoicing with them. They ain't in the Word. And you can't expect them to praise Him.
Right.
You've been cheating on them all week long. But yet when you get in trouble, though, now you want your lover to come. Now you want God to deliver you. But the devil is a lie. God don't work like that. Amen. And if He happened to bless you, even while your ready, but it's like that, it ain't because you just don't understand God. God did that for His name's sake.
Yeah.
Because God knows how the text tells me He reigns on the what? Just and the. Yeah, so how do you determine if God has blessed you because how you live? That's what it is. You know, I can't appreciate your look and your curve if I've been cheating with another woman and looking at her all day long. And some of you all come up in Bible study, I wonder why you ain't praying the Lord. Because maybe you ain't been in fellowship. Maybe you ain't been in time of prayer. Maybe you ain't been fasting. Maybe you ain't been there before God. And now you want me to do something, God? Hot meal, summer fall. You want me to get small while you stay busy? For me, you want to work out. The devil is a liar. But tell me, I'm fired up, Lord. I'm fired up. But maybe that's what's going on. But I'm so glad God brought my Larry to Buck from D.C. or from Maryland all the way down to Leesburg to shout, to pray, to get you charged up, get you fired up, and say, the devil is alive. You better get off your rusty dusty. Give Him the glory. Just do His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless His name. why we need some deliverance services. People need to be delivered. We need a married couple altar call. Not just for the married couple, but those who are single and married, who date, who in love with God, but date together at the same time. Who love God, but love His world, the world too. I want God and the world. I want to be like secular and spirit. I want to mix it in. I want to, sometimes it takes too much. Being Bible study too long. He talks too much. I need to go home and be with my family. And you've been around that dragon and stuff all the time anyway. You may need a break and get some God in you and go back home. Maybe you want devil at your house. Now God wants you to come over here and let me spend an hour and a half get the devil out your house.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because the anointing is costly. You can't get there just rolling over. God, it caused me some sleepless nights. It caused me some time where I can't hang at the movies and do all the stuff that everybody else doing. Not for this level. Yeah, you want me to pray for you? You want me to believe God for you? And I can't do that if I'm fleshy like you. No! But God says, time out! Because the reality is, some of us are lukewarm. Some of us are more cold than warm. You ain't even Luke. So maybe I need to stay on chapter 6 about this dead church. I thought I'd beat it up last week, but obviously I didn't beat it up enough. Maybe the Lord wants to stay right here because maybe this is not all of right on the pages. And maybe it ain't the people that ain't here that are dead. Maybe dead people are right here. Or maybe the people with life that are here that God wants to charge you up. Because you can only be alive long enough, because if you're around a dead tree and you're the only leaf that's alive, eventually you'll be dead. See, the one thing about that appreciate about the one thing I understood, I taught this about this about church discipline, or about how the Romans did a certain thing. What the Romans used to do was when Paul wrote, "There is now no condemnation." What Paul used to admit or see was when you killed someone, that you had part of your sentence was to carry a dead body around your body. So you had to walk around with a dead body on top of you.
Wow.
And part of that culture was that the dead body, as it eroded, is going to erode on you. That eventually you would be dead. Right? You can only stay alive long enough. Remember Jesus? Hey, I'm tired of this tree. It's been dead for a long time. All these other trees bearing fruit, but this one. What did God just say? No, let me dig around it a little bit. Because I see the water coming through. I see the nourishment coming through. But somehow, it's going to all the trees but this one. So, here it means, maybe the Spirit is moving, but it's all around us. And he is saying, give me a year. Let me dig around these dead tribes. Can these bones live?
Yes, they can.
I've always asked God, this is me being transparent. I've always asked God, why you bring me to these dead Baptist churches? I'm not saying that my mom. Of course. You know what I'm trying to preserve the emails I'm going to get later. Preserve the text that's going to get later. Miss Charlie, you shouldn't have said that up there. He can't believe you said that about us up there. He got to say that. Poo, Jesus. Break it off. Yeah, so I'm saying, Lord, I'm so charismatic. I'm so free in the spirit. I want to operate in signs and wonders. I want to see the dead raised. I want to want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I've been walking in that my ministry. I've been walking in demons and casting out demons. Lord, I'm saying, Lord, what in the world is going on? Send me to a Pentecostal church where they really spirit and people are ready to go with God. I'm ready to go. But no, sit your butt over here at a Baptist church. Oh, Lord, why did I got to do that? They got enough over there. I'm just trying to get the. You all move us into a new dimension of the Holy Spirit that you never imagined. There's a dimension of the Spirit that we stymie and we hold back. And I'm here to say, as a champion, saying there's a level and a dimension. I just want you to get ready to go. Lord, can you release it? He says, I have an open port first. They can't even praise me. So you think my spirit won't lay hands on people? Kidding. Miss Lord, if I had you do that, they won't be back in Bible study. They don't mean no good about saying that. They said no church service. It ain't Bible study. So people talk to them, make sure you include us. Make sure. But sometimes I don't want to hear what you got to say because the Spirit ain't on you. Sometimes I want to go and the Holy Ghost is on me and I'm in it and here comes, bitch, go hold up. I'm in the Spirit and I'm on the Spirit and bitch, go hold up. I was walking across the street. And, you know, this person almost hit my dog, and I wanted to say something. But, you know, I'm so glad you're talking about the Spirit, because, you know, because I, the Spirit wasn't there, I don't know what I, what? I get it.
Wrong time.
That's right, wrong time.
Well, let me clarify.
You better.
Well, I get emails again. What I am not saying is that I do not warn your comments. What I am saying is when you recognize the Spirit is moving.
That's right.
Sometimes silence is the gold.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes you ain't got to say it. Sometimes let the Spirit move in a way that He wants to move. But Sister Adams, I didn't do justice to your question. Because your question is so paramount to what you've been experiencing for a long time. And I think people grieve, they quench, they hinder. And what God is trying to do in them is to help release them. But it's hard sometimes to be a trailblazer to people that don't want to follow.
Yes.
But I promise you, God got your back.
Amen.
And I'm saying to you, God is moving in this church in a way you've never seen it.
All right.
But because you so looking at it one way, you're missing it.
Yeah.
Don't focus on who's not here. Focus on the ones that are here.
Yeah.
Because I can get them. I don't need a whole lot. I just need a remnant. All I need is one. If I need you is one. One. He said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, hold on, Lord. No. What about 50? He got all the way down. So if you can find one, I want it.
That's right.
Couldn't find it. But I got an itchy suspicion that God is not just doing it in me.
He's working
in a major way. And I'm saying to you, you read this book to say, join them.
Yes.
But he's saying, people are trying to join me, Brenda, that don't know me. They don't know how I operate.
because they think all our operators in morality. The only way God, the Holy Spirit's working, because he's going to lead me and guide me to all truth. So maybe he's only going to lead me to guide me so I don't cheat. So I do my taxes right. So I make sure I'm cussing nobody out. That ain't the only operating of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's one aspect.
Yeah.
There's a life-breathing power that you can experience. That's on a whole other level. I promise you. Because when you are in the Spirit, as I promise, when you are so in the Spirit, how many times do you ever think about you sin? It's only when you come down.
Right.
When you come down from the Spirit, that's when you say, oh, Lord, TV. But when you're in the Spirit, truly, you ain't worried about all the things that, because the Spirit got you so backed up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. It's so much so, Deacon Greer, that Paul says, imitate me as I was. Imitate Christ. But I'm so wrapped up in him that I can put my name on the line that if you watch me, you can imitate me because I'm imitating him. I'm pursuing him. I'm walking in the Spirit. He said, look, I could come to you and demonstrate words of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians, he said, I could come and preach what you like. You like these scholarly people come and preach to you. But he said, I ain't come that way. I came in demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Because he said, the education, intellectual side of preaching has made you Pharisaic. You self-righteous. You so intellectual that you just know how the Spirit moves.
Yeah.
We know how to control the Spirit because we are the Baptists. We are Loud County, First Mount Olive. We are at Leesburg. We know how the Spirit moves. But I'm waiting today that in the parking lot, somebody catch the Holy Ghost. By the time they pull up on the parking lot, the Holy Ghost will hit them so hard because the Holy Spirit is so operative in this place that on the pews and on the doors and all the way outside, people are getting captivated by the Spirit because we're so operating, we're in tune with the Spirit. Now remember this thing called ER. And ER, truly what they did was, I looked at this episode. It was all about emergency situations. So they brought this person in, and they call it flatline or code blue. So they did code blue. The one was interesting. I had no idea that God would translate this to something. That's why it's amazing how God takes me. Once I look at stuff, he'll bring it back to me to make spiritual context out of it. So here they are. Got this man they brought in, and they say code blue. And I love the doctor got around and say, everybody clear. So they grab these two little things, and they started. They put some ointment, I don't know if it was on the machine or on the person, but somehow they put the ointment, and they kind of rub the thing together, and I heard, clear! Charge! Look, on the monitor still was flatlined, so they, clear! Charge! And on the third time they did it, and the body falls.
All right.
And so, what are you saying? I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit brings you here on Thursdays and Sundays. And some of you all are flatline. And the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm moving through the pews, I'm moving through the prayer, I'm moving through the song, and he's checking you. So Sister Amber's getting up, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, God said. I was doing, Mom, is trying to check to see the pulse beat of the congregation and see if they're alive or dead. So the Holy Spirit moves and checks to see who's alive and who's dead. And you got some people who say, I'm alive, but they don't show they're alive. So you got to check them anyway. You got to hit them, even though they don't need their look. Get them in, baby. I mean, some people need to be hit anyway. So they need to hit. Even though they're so sorry, they still need to be hit. Hit them.
Charge.
I'm supposed to be in chapter 6.
But I do believe that it's time for us to join God in what He's doing. Maybe, my God, if we've been a church that's been doing for God, but not joining Him with Him. Or maybe we're joining Him with Him, but we're not sure as to what all He's doing. Because I wonder. And I don't think it's just my house. I think it's churches around the world that have become so stale. They've become so lethargic when it comes to getting in the Spirit that they don't even know how the Spirit operates anymore. They just show up. And God forbid, you've been in the Spirit this long and all you know is salvation. Can you be free in the Spirit to allow Him to journey you? Why walk beside somebody for years and don't talk to them? Come on, God. Come on, God. Go to the hospital, God. We'll meet you there. God, go over there and do communion. Oh, why somebody's sick over there, God. God, go to prison, God. Don't do all that, God. God, go to D.C., God. Go to Leesburg, God. Go all these places. And God said, what I got you here for?
Amen.
And I'm saying, I'm tired of us being a church that looks alive, but we dead. And it's time for us to be shaken up. So the Holy Ghost is saying, I want to move. In such a demand. And so this kind of atmosphere is ready for the Spirit to break out in waves. You know, because chapter 6, it said that they were ready to close the door.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't realize that God was saying, I work my best right here. I'm working. All I do is okay. Now, the man came because when they decided to say what? They said, we're going to pray. They started reading the book, and they said, after the 13 weeks, we're going to close the doors. But the book said, they said, you know what, somebody said, hey, let's pray for this week. When they prayed, God bust out the seams. I wonder, what is our prayers about our church when we're not here? Are we on one accord about the same thing about our church? Maybe we don't really want the Spirit to break out. And I'm saying our church because I'm a part of it too. But it's a question to me too. Kenny, if you want to see some things happen, what you doing? This is a check. We go to the doctor for everything else. This is for a checkup sometimes we need. Because we can be in the habit of just doing stuff. And here's the sad thing, is to be like Abraham, who heard a command and was ready to offer up his son.
That's right.
But the Bible says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that what? Proceeded. So if Abraham goes up and if he is not listening, he kills. But because he is in tune, the Spirit says, no, I moved another way now. And here this church had been doing all this other stuff and didn't realize right behind him was the Spirit moving in ways that they didn't even see. But here's the perseverance. I'm so glad that God kept them alive long enough so they didn't miss the moment. Because even though we're dead and it looks like we missed it, we don't miss it.
That's right.
Because this is not about God. He said, my church shall prevail. Right? So if this is God's church, which means God going to move whether you want to go with Him or not. So the question is, do you want to go with God and do it with us? But you can stay here if you want to. We're going to drag your butt with us. But I'd rather you go. But if you don't want to go, don't hinder me. Amen. Amen. Martha blessed me 2 weeks ago. She blessed me, said, Miss Clark, I have a praise report. What is it, Martha? And I know Wes is cringing. But God said, I thought she was going to talk about her job. I thought she was going to talk about her family. Or she's going to talk about what the, she says, let's go. I'm going to work in the nursery this Sunday.
Yes, Lord. Praise be to God. Amen.
And you know the sad reality that they people don't say it, but I can read their minds. Why is she broadcasting that? That ain't that deep. I've been involved in ministry a long time. You ain't got to put it on blast on CNN that you need involved in government. If you want to get involved in government, just show up and just sit there, Mother. You ain't got to waste our time and praying before and saying all that stuff. Absolutely, because for some people don't know where Martha came from.
That's right.
Amen.
You had a woman who was saying that a husband saying, "Honey, I want you to come." I want you to come. The tussle. But all of a sudden now, the prayer, and he kept praying, kept believing, kept praying, kept believing. The Holy Ghost got a hold of her. She showed up one Thursday, showed up another Thursday, kept on coming Thursday. So now she's participating with the book. And now she says, "I'm in ministry." That's what it's about. That's what it's about. She wants to get involved.
Yeah. Amen.
She said, "I can't walk with God and God don't use me." And I think the Holy Spirit said, "Martha, the nursery ministry."
Right.
And she's saying, and for Jesus, in front of the whole world, okay, whatever else said, that was a bold statement because I knew what it took for you to say that.
Yes.
And God said, don't worry about if people don't pat you on the back. He said, forget them, because the God who's in secret will reward you.
Oh.
But that's the issue. That's the piece. Getting people off the pews into ministry.
That's right.
And that's what God is saying. That's what the book is saying. It's saying, get up. God wants to use you. You got some gifts. You got some availability. Now use it. Use it! Why come to church? Why come to church just to sit on the pew? Why? That's a waste of time. Matter of fact, you're wasting my air. I'm sorry. Because you know why? I got to do all this rebuking while you sitting up there sitting there looking all funny. I'm rebuking in the spirit. Lord, I rebuke that spirit right now. This carnal spirit, this dead spirit, this church. Like, y'all don't know nothing. I'm sitting up in the pulpit. I rebuke every spirit, every devil in this church right now. I pray the Holy Ghost fire will hit from the choir down to the pews, and everybody will feel the prayer. And y'all just fire man calling down there. Yeah, how you doing out there? And sometimes in the name of Jesus, I'm looking at the novel, but I'm saying break the loose in the choir, Lord, in the name of Jesus. They don't know that. I'm just talking. I'm praying as I'm looking. Rebuking spirits all up in there. Because a whole lot of people come up, they ain't practiced, they ain't rehearsed, they just got themselves up there, and they'll come up there and say, "With the devil with you, the devil is alive." Not on my watch. I'm praying that that spirit get up all still behind and that you be free to sing. I remember I went to a funeral, I think I said it before, I went to a funeral at my home, my church I grew up in, and his mother, who, she said she had her will already played out, she had a will, and so she wanted me to participate as a pallbearer, and on her will, she said, all those people who helped her in her ministry, in her life, who she played a role in, shit. So she had these two people sing. One girl, who been singing Order My Steps for years. The girl could flat out just blow. She could just blow. But then we had another lady who opera style. And so when she sang, you just sing. It's like, wow, beautiful, right? But sometimes people don't like opera style kind of balance and all that. So they kind of think it's boring. And it may be is, but I'm fascinated in the fact that people's voice can oscillate to that level. It's like, good God, wow. But you can tell that one was in the flesh and one was in the spirit.
All right.
That one that was singing Order My Steps, he's up there saying, "Order My Steps, I pray your name." And I said, She been on a club every day on Facebook. She's never been in church. She don't come to church. They ain't been to the church in years. But all of a sudden, she on the wheel, and they got her first in, and it showed. But that lady got a hold of the Holy Ghost in her apostolic. The whole church went up. And I saw the difference between one and right after the other. And God says, look at the one who's in the spirit, look at the one who ain't. And there is a difference of when you're in the spirit and when you ain't. Too often, we know how to detect who's in the spirit and who's not, but you can't detect when you ain't in the spirit or not. In that entity, that you can detect everybody, but Miss Collins, we have to be in the spirit. But what about you? They do what everybody else goes, they check everybody else's spirit, but they don't check their own. Then you have some people who pose the inner spirit, by the time they get out the door, the devil and got all up in them, and they think they're doing it in the name of the Lord. I understand it. We were talking on tongues. Remember the book we had? It was called, we were doing James, we were going through the book of James, and we spent how many days on tongues? About what? About 9 weeks on tongues. Yeah. I had a nerve that, no, I didn't Holy Spirit cry. I walk out in the pew, right there, right through that door, I had to use the restroom. Here I am out the door, and we just talked about gossiping, and guess what? A hundred of them.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
What in the world?
What?
Then the next week was a service, and I heard somebody talking about a choir member, and I heard Pastor Singer talking about a choir member. And I'm sitting there saying, not Bible study people. Now that we went through 9 weeks of that, I know nobody here went down and start talking like that. Somebody, please say to somebody that wasn't in our class, please. But I do believe that there are some people here who play the role of the Spirit and they don't have no intention on obeying the Spirit.
That's right. Oh,
or you may be so dysfunctional, so jacked up in your orientation, you don't even know where the Spirit is not using you anymore. Because you're so used to it.
Yeah.
And nobody checks you, so you think you're good. And then, please don't let nobody check you. Oh, please don't let nobody gossip. And they say, no, are you gossiping? Please don't get you gossiping, right? Please don't say y'all arguing in the parking lot over church stuff. No, you don't know what's going on. You better say, you got a nerve. If I say something, you're deep. Hey, you don't know. But I'm saying, we got to get to a place where we're willing to be obedient in spirit. And navigate and operate in such a way that God will be pleased. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, it ain't just me. Right? Well, my 15 minutes left, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've always been on the Trinity, right?
Yeah.
Check 67, page 67. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that I said we're on page 66 in chapter 6? And I also said we got to hurry up and get on that because that's the devil page and the devil number. And the Lord just sent me right into it to talk about the devil that's right in here.
Exactly right.
That we bring with us.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Wow. But it's for us to change. You may not control the spirit of somebody else, but I control me.
Amen.
I can't worry about everybody. I got to check me, Lord. Right?
Amen.
So page 67. Jesus recognized the Father is always working on earth to accomplish his what?
divine purpose. God did not create the world and abandon it to run itself.
Right.
He is not sitting on a heavenly throne room passively observing the activity on earth. God is orchestrating what?
History.
He is present and in the middle of human activity. God is actively at work redeeming a lost world, and he chose to involve his servant in carrying out his redemptive plan. And maybe, Luan, the reason that we don't realize that the ultimate goal that God desired to save us is to save other people through our lives. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is God wants to bring sinners to salvation to be eternally with him. But we got to sit around talking about church stuff. And we can't get on the main goal. And the main goal is to reach sinners. But we don't want to reach sinners and bring them in here. So God has designed some people in your life. They're not by accident. They're by divine providence. Your enemy is by divine providence. God put them in your life for a reason.
Yeah.
The people that you can't stand, God put them in your life for a reason.
Right.
The people that you don't like, the people that deny you, talk about you, put you down, God designed them to be it. Satan ain't put them there, sometimes God does.
All right. Yes.
Oh, you think I don't got Bible for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus picked who? 12 jokers.
Mm-hmm.
He picked one that would do what? Deny him. He picked another joker that would do what? Betray him.
Right.
And Jesus let him sit right up next to him.
Yeah.
And God is saying, I'm not going to use a friendly person. Sometimes to develop you and take you to your destiny and purpose, I will use a person that nags you the most. That's the way I want to develop you. I could bring you around people that love you, pat you on your back. But no, sometimes the way to bring the gift out of you, the way to make you pursue after me, is to bring somebody that gets on your last nerve. And right there, they push you.
Amen.
And you think it's them? No, the Bible says we don't what? Wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against what? Principalities. Right? Power. Now, brother, we say that, right? But we don't realize the principalities ain't just in the air. You ain't sitting there talking to somebody that's in the air. Right? But that what that means is not Brenda, but guess what? That principality came and sat right in Brenda's lap and in her ear and in her mouth and made her say what she said to you.
That's right.
Yeah, we know it's not Brenda, but it's the spirit in her, but it's still Brenda too, because she's a spirit user.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Amen.
But stop arguing at Brenda. He said, your weapons of your warfare are not what? Carnal, but they're what? Mighty through God. To the what? Pulling down of strongholds. So even you praying while Brenda cussing out is praying. But here he goes on and says, here's what Paul says. Therefore, if anyone be in
Christ,
he's a what?
New creation.
Hold on, who?
New creation.
Alright? What else it says? Okay, say that one more time again. Some stuff? Some old things? Your old self? If old things are passed away, why do you keep bringing you up? Why we keep seeing praying? Why we keep seeing praying though? Every time. You know, not the new friend, but the old friend show up. Here, the old one, shake her head, you know, all that. Why did she have? He said, old things have what? Passed away. Right? All things have become
new. Where does it say
all? Old things have.
It doesn't say all here.
It doesn't.
Yeah,
right.
Yes. And the King James, it says what? All.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Old things are gone. But my question, if the old things are gone, then why do they seem to rise up?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you bring it up.
Really gone.
Or maybe you bring it up.
That's true.
You know how we say, hey, I'm saved, but I ain't perfect. We are on all cross every T and dot every I. That ain't a justifier for faith for you to act all crazy. All right, then he goes and says, now everything is from God who reconciled us to what? Himself through who? And gave us the what? Of what? Okay, now reconciliation means what?
Reconciled.
So which means that if there's some people you got to audit against, are they going to walk up to you?
No.
So you got to do what?
You got to go to them.
Oh, isn't that true? Say it again.
You got to go to them.
Let me say it one time for you. Say self.
Self.
You got to.
You got to.
Go to them.
Go to them.
Don't wait.
Don't wait.
For them.
For them.
To come to you.
Come to you. I mean me.
Amen.
Ooh. Amen. You make
that good. Amen. Maybe if there's an art and maybe they're wrong and they get it. But God is saying, defraud your right to be right. Sometimes go up to them and apologize, even though you know you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is what agent of reconciliation does. It removes the barrier. The barrier is, I'm waiting on them to apologize, and God says, that ain't gonna never happen. But I want you to be what? Free to go to them and say, I know got an issue, but guess what? I'm not gonna let you and your issue stop me from my goal. That ain't easy though. You gotta work to get there, but you gotta attempt to work. We want God to do it all. So you stay on that side, I'm staying on that side. Oh, we don't see each other. I gotta love you, I ain't gotta like you. What did you get from the Bible? So you got people who don't like each other, who don't get along, and they've been not getting along for years.
Wow.
And people know it, and nobody says nothing. Nah, I pray that you become agents of reconciliation. Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Why? Because they're Samaritans and half-breed Jews. The Jews don't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans don't like the Jews. But I need to break the barrier. I need to break it and make sure that they are bringing agents of reconciliation. He went to the well waiting on her. What are you waiting on? Some of us got daughters, you got nephews, you got cousins that don't think they've done wrong, and you sitting there waiting for them to change. Some of us got wives and husbands we ain't relating to. Because why? You mad at something they did. Nah, go over there, apologize, and get it in and get it on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to the married folks. You sing or not, take more cold showers. Sing, take cold showers. Take cold showers. Hallelujah. Go for a walk around the block. Go around for the rock. Go. Is that Alley? Go up there. Just be walking. Just walking. Walking it off. Walking it off. Praise the Lord. Walking it off. Come on, Jesus. Come on, treadmill. Do it. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Ain't it so good to be free?
Amen.
Amen. I just love y'all.
That's right. That's right.
He said, Christ, God was reconciled, is reconciling the world to who? What? Himself. God said, the reason why I say to you, you don't have an excuse, because I didn't have one. Everybody from Adam on down deserved hell. They didn't need to be reconciled. But I sent my own son and wrapped up in a body. to come down, because why? I'm reconciling you. You used to be an alien, a one who didn't love God, but look at you now. You saved it because God pursued you a ministry of reconciliation. He said, God kept going after you. Then he goes on and says, he says, not counting their trespasses against. Amen! Not counting your what? Transgressions what? Against you. And since God doesn't do that, stop letting people do it. It don't matter. Because church folks want to know who you did it with, what time you did it, how many times you did it, where you was at, when you were going to be there, when did you leave, how long you were there, what y'all do. But God said it don't even matter. We all guilty. We all guilty. Say it don't matter. We all, right? Then he goes and says, not counting himself, trespass against him, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. He says, he has committed the message. What does that mean? That means he's saying, I did it by action, but I also did it by truth. So my actions gave a message. He says, I don't get it. He said, I'm not just doing something to be doing it. I'm sending a message. So when I live my life, I'm sending a message to my daughter. How can I be telling her to keep her body if I ain't keeping mine? How can I tell her to act a certain way if I'm acting a different way? So he said, I'm sending a message. Even when I do the wrong thing, I'm sending a message. When you do the right thing, you send it. So Jesus said, when I do this, I'm sending a message. But then he said, it's went to you. So what do you do with the message? Bring it out. Can you imagine the look on your people's faces who you know can't stand you, you can't stand them, and you walk over to them and say, you know, I know we've been talking for years, but the Holy Spirit has convicted me. I am sorry for whatever it was that I've done to make causes to happen. Can we be? Now, the one, here's the thing. I'm not responsible for their response. I'm only responsible for mine. So I want to make sure I get it right. And this is too much TMI, but I say this. When God saved me, and I'm five, he says, Kenny, I want you to call every woman that you have sex with and apologize. I said, what? 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 I'm on the phone. Hey, Kim.
Click.
Kim?
Click.
Yeah, what's up? Man, you may not want to hear this, but I want to say to you, remember that time we did? He said, the Lord is telling me, I need to apologize to you. I'm sorry that I did that. I violated you. I'm a man of God now, and I can't operate like that. Can you please forgive me? Boy, get off my phone. And that was enough. He says, no. Call every last one you remember.
Oh.
And what hit me, Marie, was the last person I called. She said, Kenny, I'm so glad you called me. Because you were the last man I've been with. Since you, I'm now gay women. And I am so tired. For so long, I've been living this lie, and I've been looking for you. Because I wanted to blame you. For years, I blamed you. And here you are calling me, telling me you saved that. Oh my God, Kenny, really? Kenny, God has been working at my heart, but I've been afraid. And I said, I'm glad you've been afraid. Let me walk you down. And here we are on the phone, Brenda. What it meant to be one way, God was saving her the whole time. And he said, Kenny, you don't know that what you did to call her freed her from years of pain and agony. In one moment. There's some family members that God is waiting and he's working it. And it's up to you. This ain't about them. It's about you and God.
Because you don't want there to be no stuff that you did in your own ability be the one to go correct it. Stop doing that. Stop letting the enemy rob you of the freedom in Christ. He said, the message is to you, and you're supposed to be the agent of change. It starts with you. I'll deal with them later. But it's about me and you now, daughter and son, because I want this harmonious relationship. Because what happens is, the minute that me and you are rolling, the minute you think of them, I'll no longer get no glory out of your life. Because at that moment, you start thinking about them and the stuff, and your focus ain't on me no more, it's on them. So I need you to be free. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind you who. And if you have an opportunity to do it. Some people are dead. But that doesn't remove you the responsibility of talking to God about it. And maybe it's a conversation with you and God. God, you know what? Brenda's dead now, but I forgive her. In the name of Jesus, I forgive her, Lord. And maybe that's what God needs you to do with you and him. Because some of this stuff, it blocks us from being free in God.
Yes.
So people hinder our relationship and our connection with God because we got so much baggage. So many issues. And we can't be free. He said, the ministry of reconciliation. It starts with us first. Yes, ma'am.
I had a friend that, when we was in Germany, she got breast cancer. And then she was healed. Then we got back to the States and they was at Virginia Beach and she had breast cancer again. And Jean was the person that always spoke her mind. And this time, because she had already had a breast removal. And she had went through it a lot. They had joined the church and everything, but she had got really bad. And she told her husband she didn't want to take no more treatments or none of this. But what she did do, she sent letters out to people apologizing. Asking for forgiveness before she passed. And then after, right after that, Emerson called us and told us she was gone. And it's true, truly true.
Praise the Lord.
She went all of that time. She was just a person. She was just going to tell you, like you say, I'm going to tell you like it is, whatever. You know, and then this last time when it came back on her, she went through so much. And he said, all I can tell her, you know, is, you know, baby, go ahead. She had sent letters that, Lord knows, if I've done you anything wrong, please forgive me, and notes.
And look at the Lord going to send these letters. You may not get there. Send it. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to For years I told you all that my dad never raised me. So I grew up angry. Wanted to commit suicide at 14. Wanted to end it. But, so a long time, my stepfather at 14 walked away from us and said he's going to get a loaf of bread. I'm 45 years old, I still haven't seen him. So I went to see my mom struggle. So for years, I had attitude towards my dad. But when God got a hold of my heart, I had to be now the person to go up and try to win him for Christ. So here I am trying to win him, Joe, but I still got this issue. How do I want to be nice to this dude who wasn't there in my life? You didn't help my mom. Right? So I had all these issues. Right? So I was just trying to mother, just take any time I could to be with my dad. He had no idea. So one day he decided, he said, son, I got this accounting guy who doing my taxes. That'll be yours. And I said, okay, dad, let me do mine. So I called my daughter's mom and said, look, babe, I've never asked you for anything for my daughter, but can this 1 year let me claim her? Yeah, can you be a good dad? Claim her. So I call my dad and say, hey, look, man, dad, tell the dude don't do my taxes because I got something else going on. So I'm going to put my daughter on it. So I come to his house, get my taxes, and looking at the tax form, and I said, this ain't right. He said, what's wrong? I said, Asia's not on here.
He said, son, well, the man asked me, did you want to do it? And I took the prerogative and said, nah, you didn't want it, so I did it myself. I said, who gave you the right to do that? And I knew this was Kenny's moment to slash him. Save Kenny. Preacher Kenny. This mama, who told you you got the authority to do that in over taxes? For 15 years, he died 4 years later. I'm in a counseling session. The counselor said, I want y'all to do a role play. Kenny, I want you to be a snotty nose. I want you to be a dad. And I want my brother Joe to be a little baby, a little kid, a teenager who don't like it. Don't like the stuff. So wait, he created the scenario, not even knowing my history. So here's the scenario, I'm the dad with this woman. So the guy in our class played out, he said, that ain't my mama, that's his wife. And he said, he don't care about me anyway, because he left me, he ain't never take care of me. And I'm sitting there listening to this guy, and I'm just bawling. And the whole class, I was saying, Kenny, what's wrong? I said, this is all this stuff I wanted to say to him. And I buried it for years. And I know some of you all got issues. And you buried it. And you and God can't relate to what you should, because you had this issue. He's dead. I wish I could resurrect him and tell him what I really felt. Or really got his side of the story. Dad, can you just tell me what were you thinking about me? Did I ever matter to you? I never had a chance. But in the ministry of reconciliation, God said, reconcile, but I had issues. I was talking about Jesus, but I buried the issue I really had with him. And there's a whole lot of us that are like that. We're telling our family members about Jesus, but we got issues. And you never want to talk about it, and you wonder why you're hindered. Don't be like me. Don't be in a classroom crying about an opportunity you missed. Because nobody taught me this. But God said it's in the book, so we're going to talk about it. Make sure you are heard it now. The Lord is talking to you and the Spirit is moving. Do not waste your moment.
That's right.
I don't care what it is. Won't waste it. Fathers, make sure you talk to your kid to make sure that they understand. Are there any issues? Honey, I went to Asia. Asia, are there any issues that you had about me as a dad? Can we talk about them? Tell me. I'm willing to hear it. Why? Because I don't want my daughter growing up with all this pain and never told her dad. Dad, you weren't there. And I, as a man, take it. Because I wasn't. I couldn't do anything about it. All I could do was say, I'm sorry, baby. I'm here now. I know it don't take away the pain, but daddy is here. I wanted to be there. I had every opportunity to be there, but you in North Carolina, I'm here. Your mom took you there. I couldn't be there. I couldn't live there. But that ain't the way you said to an 8 to 14-year-old, a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old. They say, dad, what are you talking about? Who are you all that? You should have made a way. You should have came. You didn't have to come every day, but you could have came twice a month or twice a year. Dad, there were sometimes years you never even came. There were 6 months, Dad, you didn't call. But I hear you always got all these other kids. You're buying for them. They happy. And I'm sitting there looking at, why are you buying that dinner, Dad, while I'm sitting there? My daughter was silently frustrated, silently hurt, and I had no clue. And I'm saying to you, resurrect it. If you know it, yes, deal with it. Christ called to make you whole. We need to be whole. And sometimes being whole is to confront. You can't conquer nothing you're not willing to confront. We got to really confront the issue and really deal with it so we can be free in God. So my assignment, my challenge to you is that do not let 2014 get out the way before you start the process. Make it meaning.
with a counselor. Maybe it's talking to somebody, because maybe it's a person that's dead, and maybe you need to talk through this stuff. Yeah, I know you might be 70, you may be 60. I'll get out of that. No, no, it still hurts. It's still an issue, and maybe you need to talk about it. Maybe that's the freedom. Just tell them, maybe you need to confess it to somebody that you know that's totally separate from it, that can get you free. But maybe that's the reason why we're bound. Because we got issues, and we can't be free. The devil is a liar. He that the Son has come is free. Is what?
Free indeed.
But some of us are free. But Jesus said, I can't really cut the cord until you get it to me. You got this cord, and you keep wrapping yourself up in it. He said, I'm trying to cut it, but you won't let me.
Anonymously, if someone does something to you, then